Let's go to the book of Revelation, chapter 7 and verse 14. We're going to wrap up our series on the present study on the subject of baptism. Bible scholars, we've done something that probably most of you have never participated in. We have gone through the entire New Testament trying to deal with all of the passages on the subject of baptism. We dealt with all the individual accounts in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we dealt, as far as I know, with every passage on the subject of baptism in the book of Acts and every single passage on the subject of baptism in the epistles. Someone says, why are you concerned about baptism? For the same reason I'm concerned about any other subject in the Bible. Any subject in the Bible is the Word of God. It's inspired of God. And baptism teaching is just as inspired as grace and faith teaching. The same Holy Spirit inspired the apostles to speak on baptism. The same Holy Spirit inspired them also to speak on the subject of grace and faith and redemption. Modern theology and modern theological thinking and modern Calvinism has minimized the things they want to minimize. You see, Calvinism will minimize baptism for the remission of sins. As a matter of fact, they'll call you a cult if you preach plainly what the Bible says about baptism for the remission of sins. But it is all the Word of God. And when the Bible says preach the Word, it means preach the Word. It means preach all of it. Preach everything the Bible says about faith. Preach everything the Bible says about repentance. Preach everything the Bible says about confession and baptism. Preach everything the Bible says about remission of sins and the blood. In other words, on this broadcast, we do not smorgasbord the Bible. We want to give you an overview of the entire teachings of the Word of God. And I'm not preaching out of a Protestant Bible. I'm not preaching out of a so-called Catholic Bible. I'm just giving you the Word of God. Back beginning, as we go back to the first century, there were no Catholics and there were no Protestants. As far as I know, there's no Bible translation on earth where in the text it uses the term Catholic, or as far as I know, there's no Bible on earth where in the text it uses the word Protestant. And, of course, no Bible on earth talks about in the text the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, the Methodist Church, the Episcopalian Church, the Baptist Church, the Nazarene Church. All of these churches are named by individuals. They're named after systems of church government, or they're named after doctrines, or they're named after various theological thoughts. Some of them are even named after men. When they started calling themselves Lutheran, Martin Luther got on top of it, and he said, do not call yourselves Lutherans, call yourselves Christians. But a lot of people just love to hound dog after men and theologies that have been handed down. People are loyal to their denominational headquarters. We're loyal to our headquarters, but our headquarters are in heaven. Jesus is the head of the church, and that's where the head is. And the head of the church that is anywhere but heaven, of course, is a travesty, contrary to the teachings of Almighty God. We're finishing up now with the book of Revelation, chapter 7 and verse 14. We've had a wonderful journey. We're going to deal with baptism when we deal with the plan of salvation, because you must be baptized to be saved the Bible way. It's a part of salvation. And so you can't preach the gospel without preaching baptism. You cannot really preach Jesus without preaching baptism. You read the 8th chapter of the book of Acts in any man's Bible and you'll find that that is the truth. You cannot preach Jesus without preaching all that the Bible says about Him. The Bible teaches that we're baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. The Bible teaches we're baptized to have our sins washed away, Acts 22:16. The Bible teaches we're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. The Bible says we're buried with Him in baptism, Romans 6:4 and Colossians 2:12. The Bible teaches, whereunto with like figure baptism doth also now save us, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. The Bible says the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of Him, Luke chapter 7 and verse 30. Let's wrap this up, and I want to use a couple of powerful passages on unbelievable prophecies fulfilled at the coming of Christ. Friends, the odds are astronomical, off of the charts. no possibility for all of these prophecies about the coming of Christ to be fulfilled, no possibility unless it was by divine power and divine design. And so a lot of people are gambling on a 1,000,000-to-1 shot, but when you go to the Bible, these prophecies about Christ that were fulfilled, my, the odds for them being fulfilled are astronomical. It had to be God that brought about the coming of Jesus. First of all, let's end up this study on baptism in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14. The Bible says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Those of you that are familiar with this text, we'll go back to the Bible and a beautiful scene in heaven, and there's a great multitude which no man could number. And one of the elders, this is Revelation 7:13, one of the elders said, "What are these that are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" Who do we look at as we're looking at this great multitude, a great multitude which no man could number? Who are these people? And the Bible says, they're the ones that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And the way you're washed in the blood of the Lamb is when you repent and are baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, if you've not been baptized the Bible way, you give us a call. And we'll teach you from the Word of God. You bring your Bible. We can teach you out of your Bible. We're not going to get you to join my church or your church or anybody else's church. You'll just belong to the Lord's church. We're not trying to pad our coffers. We're not even asking for money. You can organize a New Testament Bible, First Century Church of Christ, right in your home. And you can baptize into Christ people that want to obey. You can teach them to have faith and to repent. You can serve the Lord's supper right on your table. You can organize a New Testament church. You see, the Lord is not in the cathedral business. When the church went into cathedrals and put locks on the doors, it seems like Christianity came to a screeching halt. But it began out by the riverside. Jesus was born in a stable. And I'm not sure we're going to have to go back to the riverside to reclaim it. I'm not sure we're not going to have to go back to the stable to reclaim it. To reclaim a genuine Christianity. Christianity is not gold crosses and pointed white hats and shiny white robes. And all of this is a travesty. It's addition from men. It's pageantry. But salvation and Christianity is not pageantry. It's the new birth. And you've got to be born again in order to be saved. You don't bow before saints and cross yourself before crosses. All of this is Johnny come lately. Get out there where the truth is, where the Word is. Get your Bible open. I don't care if it's a Catholic Douay confraternity Bible or it's an old King James Bible. Whatever it is, you're going to find the plan of salvation in there, and I'll guarantee you, you'll not find Protestantism or Catholicism. You'll just find Christianity. And that's what we're trying to preach to you today, encouraging you to just be a Christian. There's a passage back in the book of Genesis, as we're heading up towards Christmas, heading up towards the time that we think about celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have some wonderful prophecies in the Old Testament. We have one here that was given at least 4,000 years before Christ. And minutely it was fulfilled 4,000 years later. As we have the fulfillment of all of these prophecies, it had to be God, it had to be Almighty God that masterminded all of these prophecies. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15, you recall how that God and Satan were having that conversation there in the garden. Satan had wrecked, ruined, damned, and condemned the first family. Tiger Woods' family is not the first family to go on the rocks. Satan put the first family on the rocks. The first family, Adam and Eve's family, was destroyed by Satan. And God faced off with the devil and told him 4,000 years ago, the seed of the woman is going to bruise your head one day. There's going to be a woman that will have a seed that will crush your head, bruise your head. Oh, you'll bruise his heel, but he will crush or bruise your head. And 4,000 years before the coming of Christ, God was telling the devil, my son will be born, he'll be born of a woman, he'll come into the world, and he'll crush your head. And my friend, Satan received a death wound when Jesus arose from the grave. He's a wounded lion now, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says, be vigilant, be careful. He's seeking whom he may devour, but prophecies prove that Jesus is the Son of God. And it's wonderful to think of how that God predicted the coming of his Son. There's a passage in the book of Deuteronomy that is just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful passage. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, Moses, speaking 1400 to 1500 years before Christ, said that the Lord was going to raise up a prophet like him and the people would listen to him. 1500 years plus before Christ, Moses was talking about Jesus. You see, it was about Jesus back in the garden, and now it's about Jesus out there in the wilderness. In Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet like unto me from your midst, unto him shall you hearken. And so God said, there's a prophet that's going to come, and you're going to listen to him. Delmarva, you better listen to that prophet. That prophet's Jesus. People in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Virginia, people listening on the internet, anywhere in the world, you better listen to that prophet. That's the one prophet. Jesus is the one prophet. Moses said, the Lord will raise up unto you a prophet like me, and you'll hearken unto him. Moses was a deliverer. Jesus was a deliverer. Moses was a lawgiver. Jesus was a lawgiver. And my friends, people had to be baptized unto Moses to get across the Red Sea. You have to be baptized into Christ on the basis of your faith in order to get into heaven. There's a passage that is absolutely unbelievable in Isaiah, prophesying about 700 to 800 years before Christ. Isaiah 7:14, the Bible says, a virgin is going to bring forth a son. And that prophecy was fulfilled with the coming of Christ. Christ fulfilled all these prophecies, 10 billion to 1 odds that 50 prophecies would be minutely fulfilled, but they were fulfilled. What is it going to take to get these liberals and modernists, these atheists and these infidels, on their feet before Christ the Messiah to confess him and to put their confidence in him? In the book of Micah, the Holy Spirit teaches very clearly that the Lord Jesus was going to come from Bethlehem and that a ruler would come out of Bethlehem. And Jeremiah spoke of these prophecies. These prophecies were fulfilled in the New Testament. And so we say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Everywhere we look, we see the evidences of the existence and the total power of Almighty God. And you better let him be the power in your life if you want to be saved. I read something amazing this last week. There's a new camera that has been placed on the refurbished Hubble telescope, and it has looked billions of light years beyond where it ever looked before and has discovered thousands of new galaxies. How can anybody be so asininely foolish and ignorant as to believe in evolution in the face of all of these creations, when you can look billions of years out in space and see thousands of total galaxies that we never realized were there, and on and on and on and on? Any atheist or infidel that has any intelligence should renounce his infidelity, fall on his face and say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Time is up. It's time to get back to the controls and turn up the music. But that invitation is still alive and is still meaningful. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. Let's close with prayer. Father, thank you for Jesus, his coming, the fulfillment of prophecy, the undeniable evidences and proofs of his coming. And I pray that people will turn to him, Father, while there's time. Through Christ we pray. Amen.